Bart, I've asked you not to whistle that annoying tune.
Hell yeah.
What's up, dude?
Dude, it's good to see you.
it's good to see you, man. It's like I barely know you anymore. You
know,
I feel like there's so much distance between us, and you know, I just really want to reconnect today.
Yeah, it's not me, it's you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nothing, you know. I'm putting the blame fully on you.
I am a different person now. I have like all kinds of new hobbies and interests, and I've just changed, you know.
You've changed. Well, you don't have to tell me that, but I would love to hear how you changed. For everyone else, you know.
Oh, you know, just I'm more of a Family Guy person now. I'm on this Family Guy podcast, and it's just all about, like, you know, not finishing a point, jumping to a new.
Right.
Hey, look at that out there. It's like very ADHD. Yeah.
Right, right. What is that show called?
It's called Family Guy is Greater.
Oh, that's a great title. Really good title. I love that.
Yeah, it's really, you know, it just came to me one day.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, clearly sounds like nothing else that I've ever heard of.
Me and my buddy Lauren is his
Lauren.
Name.
we
do this Family Guy podcast.
Come on. Brendan's like, I actually changed my name to Landon. For this podcast.
Brendan. I'm Brendan now.
You're Brendan. Welcome, everyone, to Simpsons is Greater Than. This is the intro. We're not doing anything fancy today. And the reason for that is, and the reason for all of this up top is Brendan and I have barely spoken in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
Maybe more than that. I don't really know. I've lost track of time, Brendan. What is time?
It has been exactly 48 days since we've spoken.
No way. 48 days.
Yeah, it has been. I'm just kidding. I don't know how long it's been.
Yo, for a second, like you made counting. Me feel crazy. I was like, no way it's been. I mean, maybe it has. You know, so this is the episode, and I just want to know, like, formally, why do you hate me now, Brendan?
Well, you just post so much personal stuff.
Oh, right. I'm putting too much of myself out there.
Yeah,
including my friendship with Brendan. Yeah. No, so everyone listening knows that Brendan was not on the last episode. It made me very sad.
It was sad to miss it.
It was a very fun episode. I'm sure all of you are listening to Hotline TNT now. They are the best. I think they just finished up that tour that we talked about, but they are fantastic. So go listen to them if you're not. So Brendan, is all of this distance, and I guess this is like the real question, is it because I talked about the lucky shirt in that episode as a reason for your absence?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I thought so. Will you tell, and I know we've talked about it on the show, but can we get an update? Like, do you still feel like the lucky shirt is or the absence of the lucky shirt is causing strife in your personal life?
I mean, I think that now more than anything, the search for the new lucky shirt is really the trouble. Like, I feel like the curse of the lucky shirt being gone, maybe, knock on wood, is gone. But like every time I try, now the problem happens is like I try to pick a new lucky shirt. And it's just arbitrary. It's like I bought this Grand Canyon sweater, and I'm like, this is it. This is my airport travel shirt. It's going to be lucky. And the first time I wore it was when I went to Asheville, and like flight after flight got canceled. I had to stay at a hotel. It was like crazy. It's like, well, it's not this shirt then.
So, I mean,
now I don't even wear that sweater ever. I'm like, I'm not putting that on to even go to the store.
Yeah. I mean, I would argue, and this is kind of why I avoid saying that things are lucky, because it's just a lot of pressure. You know, like putting this moniker on any item that it brings you luck. I mean, it's just, you're just asking to be let down.
Yeah, you really are.
So Brandon, if it's something we can work through together, either on the podcast or just, you know, friend to friend, maybe we just have to let the lucky dream go.
Yeah, I think I do. I think I just need to, like, I don't know, but I'm such a superstitious person. I need a place to, like, channel my superstitious energy. I'm going to, like, avoiding cracks again or something.
Well,
do you still avoid cracks?
I do, sort of out of, like, fun, though. It's like, it's more of a fun game. It's like, oh, you know, I'm going to see if I can avoid all of these on the sidewalk. But, you know, when I was a kid, I was very superstitious. I guess to some extent, maybe I still am, whether I acknowledge it or not. But, yeah, I mean, I think after all this time, the only option for you is to find the original shirt. Like, I think whether it's making a documentary, asking people who listen to this podcast to help, I don't know what the answer is, but we just have to find the original one.
It's in a dump is the worst bit. Like, we're going to have to, and not just a dump, it's in like the Oakland, California dump. I don't think anybody wants to go searching through that dump for anything.
Well, maybe not, but I was, you know, I exaggerated a little bit in the last episode, but you did run into some bad luck on your last trip, right? You had a couple flight cancellations and
just your normal thing.
Yeah.
Just my normal thing.
I love that this, I mean, I don't love it for you, but I do. It's a great story to tell, you continue to have this terrible luck after losing the shirt.
You know, it's always like these small regional airports, because a lot of the traveling I do is to go on fishing trips with my dad and my brothers, and it's always like some small little town in Tennessee or North Carolina with like literally two terminals at the airport. I've spent so many hours in a two terminal airport, you wouldn't even believe it.
I grew up in a town with only a regional airport, I honestly didn't even trust. I was like, man, these planes are just like made out of construction paper or something. I just don't trust these little guys. So, you know, to this day, I have family that lives in a town so small, they have to drive like 3 hours to use a real airport. So
that's wild.
That's just reality for some of us. Well, Brandon, I'm glad we're back together. That's all
I'm glad too, man.
You're alive. You're well, your travels went well. And this is like a story. You know, this is just a part of the podcast. I think the listeners are used to it now, where sometimes, you know, we get off schedule because one of us has to go somewhere. But you know, we always bring it back together like Voltron to bring you the content.
That's so right.
We come back, stronger than ever. Maybe.
I don't know this. I feel like we're pretty strong right now. I don't know. It might just be the coffee coursing through my veins.
No, I feel like we're pretty strong. I mean, you know, Just know that the podcast isn't going anywhere, regardless of the lucky shirt or anything that an airport can throw at us. We can handle, guys.
That's right.
And I'm about to travel a little bit myself. So, luckily or unluckily, I do not have a lucky shirt. So hopefully, I continue my smooth sailing.
I don't have a lucky shirt either. That's the problem.
Well, I guess before we get into the actual episode or continue catching up, I do want to remind all of you that this episode is brought to you by Brandywine Coffee Roasters. I am drinking this delicious natural process from Ethiopia right now. The notes are passion fruit, blueberries, strawberries, mandarin. It is fantastic. If that sounds like something you would like to try, you should use my discount code. Brandon, what's that discount code?
Darkness.
It's darkness. Brandon's favorite code. Darkness. Go to BrandywineCoffeeRoasters.com and use that code, and you're going to save 10% on a fantastic bag or multiple bags of coffee. And I don't think you're going to regret it one bit.
It's funny. Every time I do the darkness code, I feel like a 90s shock jock. Oh yeah. Darkness.
we need to get like an actual like queued up, like darkness. We need like a thing for that. So I mean, get to work on that, Brandon. That would be great.
What was it in Bart's elephant episode? The guys at the radio station, they replaced him with a robot, but it has a name. It's like the DJ 2000 or
something. It's something
like
ridiculous. It's like, I think it is the DJ 2000, or it's like the it's like DJ and then a number. It might be the 3000, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
How does he keep up with the news like that?
Don't praise the machine.
As always, go buy a copy of my book if you have not. I still have a few signed copies. I ran out and added some more to the store. So if you want a signed copy, you know, I'm actually going to use this. I was going to bring this up a little later, but I'm going to use the book as a segue into something else I want to promote in this episode. And this is also part of the reason, along with just, you know, general scheduling, that we've been a little off our rhythm. And that is that I've been doing live shows weekly over on a new app called District. And what District is, think of it as like Etsy meets Discord meets whatnot. I don't know. It's like, it's kind of all the best parts of many of the other apps you're familiar with. So I'm currently selling a lot of extra stuff. I acquired a collection from a friend of mine. So I'm not selling my collection. Nobody gets scared. As if any of you would be that upset, I guess. But I'm selling a collection. Yeah, don't get scared, everyone. But I'm selling a collection for a friend. So I've got lots of really, really cool Simpsons stuff. And if that's something you would like to participate in, if you'd like to join in on one of the auctions, if you're listening to this on the day it dropped, I'm doing one tonight. And for pretty much every Wednesday for the next couple of months, I'm going to be doing these live auctions. And there's some really great stuff. So use the link in the description. Go sign up and make a free account. It's free to set up and bid in some auctions. And there's also, it's not just auctions. There's stuff listed on there from both me and other sellers. And you can buy with confidence because we, you know, monitor the people we allow to sell. So go set up an account and buy some stuff, Brandon. You too.
Well, 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 the truth comes out. You come in here like it's my fault that we're not talking, and then I hear what you've been up to. You just outed yourself.
No, what are you talking about? This is totally Brandon's fault that we've been so. No, yeah. A lot of it is on me. This is true. It's just, you know, one of those things. But if you don't feel like you're getting enough content from me, I'm doing these every Wednesday. Again, I just want to reiterate that. So for like an hour and a half, I'm doing these live auctions, and you can watch the replay if you just like seeing me show stuff on camera. And they've been really, really fun. So set up an account. It's free. Come bid in some auctions. Come hang out. There's even a chat. There's like a trivia chat. There's all kinds of cool features on there. And the reason I use the book as a segue, a very poor segue, is I have some copies on there that are a little bit cheaper. Nice. Just to sort of, you know, entice people to come to the store. And so I'll sign those as well. If you want to get one on there for a little bit cheaper, go ahead and I will still sign it. So set up an account and you'll have a good time. Brandon, what are we talking about today? What are we doing? Some people don't like to read the description, so what are we doing?
Talking about video games. More specifically, yeah. Game Boy games.
This is pretty much the Game Boy special. When I went through kind of trying to make a list for this episode, I was like, man, we didn't talk about any Game Boy games in the first one. And I don't really know why. I guess I sort of thought we would, you know, break it up into a few episodes. Yeah, but
there's just so many.
So they basically, get their own episode with like a couple of other things that we're going to talk about. So we're going to be talking about a lot of Game Boy games today. And I also do want to mention, this is something that, as I went back to the other episode, I don't know why we didn't talk about this, but I really made it sound like all the games we talked about in part one were either Nintendo or Super Nintendo or PC. And one thing that I didn't point out at all is like they made those games on a lot of platforms.
Yeah.
Like you could play them on Sega. You could, you know, there were a lot of options for a lot of those games. And for some reason, I just didn't talk about that. So just so everyone knows, I am aware of that, and I should have made, because I'm sure some people were like, wait a minute, I played this on Sega Genesis. You know, I don't know why we didn't really talk about that. So today, well, actually not today, because there's very few examples of that, but in the future, we'll try to list off the different consoles that they came on. So
nice.
Brandon, how familiar are you with these games?
Not at all. I actually have not played any of them.
Wow.
Yeah, we had a Game Boy, but it was weird. We got a Game Boy. It was sort of like one Game Boy that me and my six siblings shared. And we only ever had Tetris, and I think the Mario Brothers. Was there like a Mario 3 on the Game Boy, something like that?
There was, if I'm not mistaken, there were like a couple of Mario games that were like in between.
Yeah.
Like they sort of played like Mario 3, but I know there's a few because you could also play those on like, you know, they made those Super Nintendo carts that you could put Game Boy games in.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember playing some of them that way.
That's cool. Did you have a Game Boy? Did you play a lot of Game Boy games?
I had a Game Boy, but truthfully, I did not enjoy it as much as like a major console. And I think it's because I just didn't like how small the screen was.
Yeah.
Which sounds so silly because, you know, now we do everything on our phones.
Yeah.
But at the time I was like, oh, I would rather play this on my couch with a controller and a television. I don't know. I just didn't. It never appealed to me as much. I guess for trips, it was really great, but I just, you know, I didn't enjoy it as much as the regular console.
The problem was always the batteries. Like, it took AA batteries. We didn't have rechargeable AA batteries at the time. And so you just had to have, like, a backpack filled with batteries. And inevitably, being, like, a sloppy-ass kid, you'd, like, take the dead batteries out and throw them into the backpack where the fresh batteries actually were. And you'd get this mix of batteries. It was impossible. Yeah.
Yeah. Kids are stupid, man. we did lots of dumb stuff. Like, I mean, I think that was a part of it too. Is, you know, I knew if I played it too much, not on a trip, my mom would just complain about how many batteries I was going through. Yeah, so I just kind of stuck to the main console. But when I was older, this was like as an adult, I got one of those cartridges that you could play Game Boy games on a Super Nintendo, and I remember thinking to myself, like, if I would have had this as a kid, I would have played way more of these games.
Yeah.
More frequently. But also, I think there's something to be said about how the games just aren't, you know, they're not the caliber of even like, you know, I mean, I guess some of them are on par with a Nintendo game at times. But I think even as a kid, you're like, I would rather play Super Nintendo for the graphics, you know, or whatever. So I think it just depends on your relationship to it, how often you were playing it in the car versus, you know, did you play it a lot at home? So I missed out on a ton of great Game Boy games, I'm sure.
Yeah, I did too. One thing I found interesting in researching this episode is I watched playthroughs of all these games, and all of the playthroughs were like 20 minutes long.
They're usually pretty easy to beat, which is funny to look at now. Because just like we talked about last time, it's the opposite of like every Simpsons Nintendo game.
Yeah.
Like
they swung hard in the other direction.
Yeah, like these, and I will say, I have played all of these. I do own all of these. I do own a Game Boy currently that I bought probably 7 or 8 years ago just to have, you know, the ability to play some of these games that I didn't play as a kid. And so I've played all of these. I have not beaten all of them because some of them I just didn't enjoy enough to try to do that. But I like a lot of these games. Spoiler, I actually think they're very fun and honestly less frustrating than some of the other games that we talked about in the first episode. So yeah, let's just get into it, Brandon. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go.
So the first one we're going to talk about today is Bart Simpson's Escape from Camp Deadly. This only came out on Game Boy in 1991. And this is a little description of the game. Bart and Lisa head off to summer camp, which ends up being run by the nephew of Mr. Burns, Iron Fist Burns. Well, they really, you know, swung hard with that storyline. The game follows Bart as you complete miserable challenges instituted by Counselor Burns, and eventually you try to escape the camp, avoiding counselors, bullies, killer hornets, traps, and more. Eventually, Bart and Lisa switch off the lights of the camp as they leave for good. I think this is a really fun game, and I'm shocked to know that it was actually received very poorly. And out of a lot of these, this is one of the ones I played the most as an adult. And I think it's really fun. It's like a nice, quick game.
I haven't played it, but it looks like a pretty standard like platformer fare. I will say I thought that the in terms of like the art, the eyeballs on Bart and Lisa are super weird. They're darker than their skin color, so they look high.
Yeah, it is a little strange. It's so funny how restrictive the graphics were on these games.
I mean, you can't, it's like grayscale. They only have 128 like shades of gray from white to black to deal with. It's very so limited. Funny. Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, you know, this is like, when you look at this plot also, this is the kind of thing that like they would never You know, you can tell this was 1991 because this idea is so, I don't know, this would never be an episode of the show. It's like so goofy, you know, Mr. Burns' nephew, like it's such a bizarre thing. But at the end of the day, you get like a very fun video game.
It's funny in the, in a lot of these games, we saw this in the last episode too, they try to tie it to Mr. Burns. Cause like what a great villain Mr. Burns, you know? So it's like just really reaching for a straw there to Mr. Burns's nephew.
They just, I mean, they had no other options for villains, I guess, when they were trying to make these, but it, you know, just like in Bart versus the World, it's like always relatives of Burns in these games. I just think that's so funny. But let's read off the levels, which are, you know, the day that they had to pitch this, the guy forgot he was supposed to name the levels, clearly. So we got morning activity, lunch break, afternoon activity, dinner, Mount Deadly, and escape to the power station. So there's only like two of these that actually feel like actual level names, but
yeah, it's the last two. He like listed off the meals of the day, and then finally, by the time he did that, his brain caught up enough to come up with two names.
Right. But, you know, it's also, I think, and this is why this game was criticized. Also, this goes without saying, but the artwork for this game is fantastic. All the Simpsons games have amazing cover art, which is probably why people continue to buy them, even though they knew that some of them were bad. But apparently the reason this game was so criticized is because of its lack of tie-ins, like the fact that it felt so disconnected from the show. And I'm sure that's a criticism that, you know, was given to most of these early games. It just doesn't feel like something that would actually happen. And it was, you know, they referred to it as basic and uninspired and things like they just like didn't really appreciate the story. But, you know, like anyone, I think kids were buying it because it was Bart. And that's all I really cared about.
Yeah, and we mentioned this a bit in the last episode that we did, that like these early games, you know, a game takes a long time to develop, and this game was released in 1991, so it was being developed as the first season was airing. It might have even been pitched as the first season was still being made.
Right.
So like it wasn't like they had they didn't have a huge like wealth of Simpsons stuff to lean back on. They might not have even like understood what the Simpsons was yet at that point, you know?
Totally. And I think that that's actually really important to continue pointing out, because as critical as some people are of these games, like the timeline, you know, was not what you think it is. Like if you saw this game come out in the middle of, you know, season three, you'd be like, why would they do this? Like, why wouldn't they just make an episode about, you know, X, Y, or Z? But like, they didn't, that's not possible. This game was probably being worked on. They had seen like two scripts or something. They had seen like one episode. They probably even told them, if I had to theorize, they probably told them, oh, we're going to do an episode about Bart and Lisa going to like a summer camp. And they were like, oh, that would be a good idea for a game. You know, I would think that there's like, you know, that has to be some sort of, you know, they got that idea from somewhere, and it just doesn't line up at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
But again, I really enjoyed this game.
Yeah, you know, it looked fun watching the video. There is one bit of sort of deep divey trivia that I found. In the Nintendo did a walkthrough of this game that they published in the October 1991 issue of Nintendo Power. And when they made the walkthrough, they have a bunch of screenshots of the game. And the screenshots they took were from an early beta version of the game, so it wasn't finished yet. And one of the characters that eventually became Madman Mort in the game was Madman Krimmel Krogan. And he looked exactly like Jason Voorhees. So, you know, at one point there was a character that looked like Jason Voorhees running around. It makes sense because they're, you know, at a camp and Jason Voorhees loved to torture those camp kids. And I guess they removed it in fear of being sued. But somehow it still got published. So anybody that really wants to find some deep Simpsons lore, search for that Nintendo Power October 1991.
Wow, that's amazing. I actually really want to find that now.
Yeah.
I have a few Nintendo Powers. I don't believe I have that one, but I'm going to have to double check. That's crazy. And also, that kind of points to a different theory, like maybe, you know, much like the writers on the show, they just wanted to parody anything. And Friday the 13th was a very popular game.
Yeah.
At least I believe it was. I don't remember if people actually loved it or hated it. But yeah, it seems like that would make a lot of sense for something like this. And probably, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons they had to just be like, okay, fine. Burns, or a version of Burns, is always the villain, because we don't want to deal with any sort of like accusations of taking any IP on these games. So I think that actually, that's a really interesting fact. I did not know that at all.
Yeah, I wonder if if maybe the story of the game got started in one place, you know, maybe they were doing more of a kind of a Treehouse of Horror parody of, you know, Friday the 13th. And then, you know, a lot of stuff happened behind closed doors, and for whatever reason, they were kind of forced to change the story. And somebody was like, we need a new story quick. And then a guy was like, okay, it's going to start in the morning, and then we're going to have lunch, and then there's going to be a dinner part, and then Camp Deadly, Mount Deadly. There we go.
I still love this idea that a guy was supposed to name the levels, and they went to like the final meeting, and he was like, oh, no, I just thought it would make sense to keep them very simple. like clearly Morning Activity was like a placeholder name that he just never. Yeah. Morning, I mean, this guy either got fired or, you know, was a really good bullshit artist, one or the other. So I would love to know what happened to this guy.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to, you know, now I'm going to search for that Nintendo Power. So on this next one, same year, and this is, I mean, I'll just say it up top, it's a much worse game to me. I'm sure there's some people listening that disagree, but this is Bart versus the Juggernauts, also 1991, and also only on Game Boy. And here's the description. This game sees Bart competing in a game show where he must complete various challenges, such as an obstacle course at the Quickie Mart and dodging Dr. Marvin Monroe's electrified tiles. Bart must complete each challenge to progress onto next week's episode of Juggernauts. Now, what is so funny about this game to me is that this has way less to do, in my opinion, with any sort of tie into the show, but did not get nearly the negative reviews that Camp Deadly got.
That's
in fact,
so strange.
This game was like mostly reviewed positively, and I don't really enjoy playing this game at all. So make of that what you will.
It just watching the video, it looked really frustrating to play. Very frustrating. Yeah.
Well, and it's also, it's not like a traditional, I mean, this is, you'll find other games like this, but it's not like, here's a level, here's a level, here's a level. Like the levels that you play and the amount of them is determined by like the cash prize. So, you know, I don't even remember, cause it's been a while since I played it, and I should have fired some of these up before this episode, but it is, I mean, truly, there's like too much stuff in here from that collection to find the Game Boy. But it's one of those things where I don't even remember if you could be like, I want to go for this cash prize, or if you just had to gradually beat. Like, okay, you beat these two to get that one, and then you can beat these three to get that one, then you can beat these four to get that. So I just remember it being very, I didn't understand why it was like making me replay levels, and it just, I don't know. I never had a really good time playing this game.
It sounds like they were just trying to squeeze some player time out by making you replay things.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's, you know, I will say to their credit, it wasn't like, okay, you play one and two, and then you play one, two and three, and then you play one, two, three and four. Like there were, you know, as you got further along in the challenges, you didn't always start with the same challenge. So they switched it up a little bit, and by the end, you have like five. The highest value is the only one that has like the last two challenges, I think. But I'll read them off. These are the quote unquote levels. I guess they're really just challenges. Much better names than Camp Deadly. Captain Murdoch's Skateboard Bash and Crash. Dr. Marvin Monroe's Hop, Skip, and Fry. Nuclear Power Plant Bop Till You Drop. Herman's Military Minefield Mayhem, the Krusty Land Hammer Slammer, and the Quickie Mart Dodgy Dodge. So maybe this game was reviewed more positively because it had so many characters from the show that actually exist. I don't know. I have no idea why this game was like actually more liked than Camp Deadly.
Those level names sound like bad song titles. You got the Bash and Crash, the Skip and Fry, or bad dance titles. You know, like when a song comes out and then it has a dance associated with it.
Yeah,
it's the bop till you drop.
Minefield Mayhem. I just I don't know. I want to know if you're listening to this episode and you like this game, or if you have like fond memories of playing this game. Like, talk to me about it, because out of all, I mean, honestly, in the grand scheme of Simpsons games, this is very low for me. Like, there are games that I criticize that I would rather play than this one. So it's definitely very low on my list. I just don't get a lot out of it. Great artwork as always, but what does that, you know, what does that really mean? So yeah, I'll never understand.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's like a weird parody of American Gladiator, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
How long was the walkthrough, Brandon? How long did it seem to take?
Oh, it was actually pretty short. I think it was like around 20 minutes or so is what I remember. So,
see, here's the other thing that I'll say critically, and maybe this is just on me, but I think if you go into the game not really understanding the way the challenges work, and you keep having, and you have to replay certain ones, you kind of don't understand the point. You're like, well,
yeah.
Like, you don't feel like you're completing anything.
Yeah.
And I guess, as you know, if you look at it now, you're like, oh, well, it's just, you know, there were other games like this.
Yeah.
Like, tell me if you remember this. I used to play this game, kind of a lot. And as an adult, I don't know why, but it was like an Olympic Games NES game where it had like fencing.
Whoa, dude, you're like unlocking a core memory for me. It had like fencing. It had didn't it have like shot put as well?
It had shot put. It had like what is the name of the sport where you run and jump? You see how far you can jump?
Long jump.
It was just all of these like relatively boring games. And I played the hell out of it for some reason.
The Olympic Summer Games was the name of it.
Thank you. See, I played this game all the time, and now I feel like it would bore me to sleep.
I don't know. I want to go play it again.
So maybe it's great. Maybe we should do a episode on that. But I think if I look at that and I think back and go, okay, well, if I would have played Bart versus the Juggernauts at this time, maybe I would have loved it because I loved games like this. But as an adult playing it for the first time, I did not enjoy it at all. So I guess that's like, you know, if I put myself back in that place, maybe I would have liked it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think something about it is that it is Simpsons branded. Like when we go for some Simpsons media, we want at least a story, you know, even if it's a thin one, like Mr. Iron Fist Burns is taking you to the morning activity. But you want something. You know, like if something's branded as Olympics, you don't expect a story. You don't expect jokes. You just expect to do some Olympic games, and it makes sense. But like you turn over your hard-earned allowance to buy yourself a Game Boy game with The Simpsons on it, and then there's no story. There's no jokes. It's just some characters and a couple of weird mini games. You're going to feel a little slighted, maybe.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I think that's the truth. And also, I just don't remember it being fun.
Yeah. So I mean, that's kind of important in a video
game. It's kind
of
important. So, yeah. I don't know. If you're listening and you enjoy this game or any of the games that we're going to talk about today, send us an email. I would love to hear all feedback, even if you say, hey, you're a fucking idiot and
these games rule.
This is one of my favorite games on the planet. I'll take that email.
I mean, I'd like to read it, you know.
Brandon's like, I will gladly read any email where Warren is called a fucking idiot. That sounds great. Okay, so we're going to move on to Itchy and Scratchy in Miniature Golf Madness. This came out in 1994, so a pretty big jump in timeline. Also only available on Game Boy. And here's the description. As Scratchy, the player attempts to complete 9 miniature golf courses, and if playing golf on a 2D platformer wasn't difficult enough, you have to constantly avoid Itchy's attacks. While putting on the green, you have to dodge an onslaught of grenades, chainsaws, and dynamite. This game is awesome.
Yeah.
Now, the criticisms that I have about Juggernauts do not transfer over to this, because I think itchy and scratchy put you in a different mindset on your expectation of a game, but also it does feel like a real game. You do feel like you're, you know, you are going through levels, essentially, 9 of them, just like golf. And it's really, really fun. And I'm not the only one that thinks that, because critics also seem to praise this game at the time. If you kind of go back and look over some, it's really fun. Brandon, I'm assuming no go on this one, but you watched a playthrough.
Yeah, I watched the playthrough, and at first I was like, "Hey, it should be mentioned, it's a side-scrolling golf game."
Yeah.
It's like, when I read golf game, my mind immediately was top-down, especially with putt-putt, because you want to like see the thing. But no, it's like a platformer, which is crazy. I also have to shout out, when I heard Simpsons golf video game, I thought of Lee Carvello's putting challenge.
Oh, yeah.
You have selected no.
You have selected power drive.
I suggest feathered touch.
Feathered touch. No, this is so, and I'm glad you pointed that out as a side scroller, because that's, I'll explain it like this to anyone who hasn't played this game. Essentially, what you're doing is hitting the ball throughout the level is just how you complete the level. Like, you're basically trying to get the ball to the end of the level. So it doesn't feel, it's not your traditional golf game where you're like, let me see how, you know, obviously you do want to get it there as quickly as you can, just like you want to beat the level as quickly as you can, but it feels quite different than any golf game you've played. And I think that's what makes it so interesting. And, you know, I keep talking about like an overall ranking of Simpsons games. I think this is one of the most underrated, and it's actually really, really fun. So if you've never, and I mean, it's kind of expensive now, because I guess people have figured that out.
Watching the playthrough, at first I was, when I heard the description and I saw the title, I was like, I don't know about this. This one's going to be a bozo game. And then I like watched the playthrough, and I was like, this looks like a lot of fun, man.
Now, see, like, this is where the listener is going, oh, and you like this game, Warren? You're a fucking idiot.
That's
so fine. get that email drafted up, but I'm not alone. This thing's good. Let's read the levels. Hole one, Grim Furry Tales. That's not that funny. I don't know why I'm laughing. Hole two, Malice in Krusty Land. Hole three, Rest in Pieces. Hole four, Pirates of the Scratchabean. Okay, that's good. Hole five, I Scream of Genie. Hole six, Chop Along Scratchity. Is that like a play on words I'm not understanding?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be. I'm not catching the reference, though.
Chop Along Scratchity.
I don't know.
I wonder if I like misspelled. I don't think I did. I think that's literally, I think I copied it from somewhere else. Chop Along Scratchity.
That's going to drive me crazy.
Yeah, 20 minutes later, we're going to be like, oh, fuck. Hole seven, Patty Meltdown. I get that one. Hole eight, 20,000 Mice Under the Sea. And hole nine, 9.5 Shrieks. very fun game. I mean, it's tough because you're, you know, like it says in the description, you're constantly avoiding attacks from Itchy, but really, really fun game.
Yeah, it looks really cool. And also the, I feel like the art's really great. Like the renderings of Itchy and Scratchy are really like cute in the right way. And it has that, you know, hand-drawn Simpsons sort of feel, which is nice.
Also very nice, like, title cards for each level. Like, I remember the Rest in Pieces title screen. I think I even took a picture of this and posted it once before a trip. But it's, like, Itchy as a Grim Reaper. So they do some really cool stuff throughout the game. It looks really nice. It's fun. Great cover art. No surprise there. Really, really solid. And, you know, I should also mention, you know, I'm always plugging the book on this podcast, but all of these video games are covered in the book from both episodes so far. And there's going to be a third episode because there's no way we could have fit them all in this episode. Maybe even two more. I don't know yet. But we talk about all of these in the book. There's screenshots, there's photos of like the cartridge. So if this kind of stuff interests you and you want to read a little bit more about these games, you can also, you know, get a copy of the book. You know, hit the links in my description, get a signed copy. And then you can read along with the episode, which is fun. Really good game. I wish I had more to say about it. I will point out that my notes corrected the word golf to gold multiple times.
I noticed that.
miniature gold madness, according to the notes. But yeah, this is one, Brandon, like game. If you track down a Game Boy and you feel froggy, I think you should get this game and play it.
Yeah, it looks fun. It looks
like, or play it online. I'm sure there's a way to do that.
Yeah, I'm sure
there is.
A perfectly legal way to do that.
Totally. Nothing illegal about that. And while we're in between games, Brandon, I just want to take a moment, as we did in the other episode, and just talk about your game, because I have played so much of this
game.
Have
you? Are you getting good at it?
So I had to take a little break because I was literally playing it for hours every day after the last episode. It's a blast. So I do want to take another moment to plug that. Have you been playing it at all? Have you like had enough time away from the game to kind of get back to it or no?
On launch day, just so everyone knows, it's called Penny's Big Breakaway.
Yes.
It's on Switch, Xbox, PlayStation. Go check it out. On launch day, everyone at work, we just all sat around and played the game, which was cool to that's what I did at work that day, which is pretty rad. But I haven't played it since. We're already kind of working on whatever the next thing is, and I just haven't kind of had the space for it. I think I need to give myself some space from it, because right now when I sit down to play it, I still see work, I still see that sort of thing. So I think maybe in a few months I'm going to sit down and be able to have some fresh eyes and enjoy it, which will be cool.
And I mean, but to be fair, it's kind of a stupid question. I mean, I think you've played the game enough at this point.
Yeah. Well, actually, through development, I didn't play all that much because my job was so focused on building environments for the game, all the environmental artwork I had a hand in, bringing to life. And when you do a lot of that, it's more, you're just looking at static things as opposed to playing through the levels. So it was funny. There was always this the designers and the level people were making the playable side of the game, and I'm working on the environment side. And every now and then I'd hop onto Slack and see a video of a boss battle and be like, oh shit, we're making a video game here, guys. This looks crazy.
That's well, and this is what I will say. If anyone listening, now that I've played the game, I feel like I can really say this, but any one of you who grew up playing, Gex the Gecko, Super Mario RPG, Super Mario 3D World, Spyro, any of these games, if this is something that you have nostalgia for, this game was made for you. It really scratches that itch for me because I was a big fan of those kind of games and have been since I was a kid. I think there's something about just the way those worlds are designed, how big they are. It really puts you in a mindset when you're playing and you're just having a good time. And I love a game that allows me to play a level over and over until I complete every little thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure that shocks everyone listening to this podcast that's the way I am. But it's really, really fun. And that's a sincere endorsement. After we record, I'm going to play it today. That tells you anything. So, I'm going to continue putting that in the description, but go get the game. I'm playing it on Nintendo Switch and, I would recommend that because it's very, very fun on the Switch.
Yeah, it is. That's the only way I've played it as well. But, yeah, it's fun, man. It's cool seeing the response. It's also a game that you can kind of choose the way you want to play it. It's set up to where you can kind of explore and play it slow, or if you want to try to mad dash through, or there's also a combo system that's kind of like Tony Hawk Pro Skater. Some people are far better at the game than I am. When I try to play it, it's I'm horrible at video games.
I will say it's it takes you a couple levels to really kind of get the feel, but by the second or third day, I felt like I was cruising. Really kind of felt locked in. And it's not a frustrating game. It's one of those games that's there's a lot of combos, there's a lot of ways to play, but it's very fun. And this is not just, obviously I love Brandon, I'm proud of Brandon, but this is sincere. And it also, it's not Brandon did it by himself, but I think you would all love this game.
Hell yeah.
Well, so go get it.
I'm glad that you're enjoying it and playing it. It's fun. It's fun hearing somebody enjoying something that was worked on for so long.
Absolutely. I completely understand that. So yeah, everyone go get the game. The link is in the description, just like everything else that we've been talking about today. All right, let's talk about Bart and the Beanstalk, Brandon.
Yes, let's do it.
Bart and the Beanstalk. I have
a few things to say about this one.
I will say, like, and I'm noticing this now, like, you know, the games we talked about in the first episode, I have a lot more personal connection to, and there's a lot more to say. I think by nature of how, like, simplistic a Game Boy game is, there is less to say about these. But it doesn't make them any, you know, less worth covering. I think I just have, you know, less strong feelings about them, and I'm realizing that now. It's like a little easier to cover them and not, you know, not have such a personal anecdote. The game combines the television series with the classic fairy tale Jack and the Beanstalk. I'm willing to bet you all could have figured that out. The story begins with Bart trading his cow for some magic beans and a slingshot. But before he can plant them, Homer eats the beans, mistaking them for delicious candy. He spits them out, and the next morning Bart wakes up to find a giant beanstalk that stretches towards the heavens. Upon climbing to the top, he finds a castle, as well as a giant that looks suspiciously like Homer. This game is hard to find. I'll give it that.
Yeah.
It's a little pricey. It's one of the ones that took me the longest to track down. I'm not sure what it's going for currently, but it is on the pricier side of the games.
That's so strange. I wonder if there were just fewer copies of it made or what.
I think, you know, this is kind of like what I said about Bartman Meets Radioactive Man. I think a lot of people probably got very annoyed by it or just didn't like it. And you know, not a lot of copies survived. They've just like, you know, I feel like the less popular it was at the time, the fewer it sold and the fewer are out there. And now people just want it to say they have it. It's not a bad game. You know, in fact, I'd say it's pretty comparable to even Camp Deadly. It's a little harder, a little more difficult, but it's, you know, graphically it's similar. It's not like it's bad on that front necessarily. But to me, it is a big step down from Itchy and Scratchy Miniature Golf Madness for sure. Yeah. And it came out the same year. And also for this to be 3 years after Camp Deadly, I feel like it should be, there should be a wider gap in quality to me.
I will say, of all of these Game Boy Simpsons games, I think this one has the best, like, illustration, you know, the best art in the game. They really got some, like, really, they got a lot of depth, and they got a lot of, like, really organic shapes for, you know, 128 shades of gray.
It looks, like, in
that restriction, it looks good. The song in the game, there's one song, and it goes the entire game. And when I was watching the walkthrough, by the end of it, I just muted it. I was like, I can't take this song anymore.
It's true. It is. I mean, I'd probably play it over Juggernauts. And it does look nice, like Brandon said, but it's not a, you know, I wouldn't call it a great game by any stretch. And I forgot to write this down. I don't think it was super well received either. I feel like it was probably kind of neutral. I don't think this made a lot of waves, but you talk about a game that doesn't have a lot of tie-ins. I mean, this has literally none.
Yeah. And I want to talk about the ending for a moment.
Let's do it.
If anybody hasn't played this game and for whatever reason, you're really excited to play this game and you don't want it to be spoiled, just skip forward like 60 seconds because I'm about to spoil this shit. So, you know, the game is Bart, and he gets up to the heavens. There's a giant Homer, and he's like, the end of the game, you're like running from the giant Homer back down to Earth. And the ending is almost like comically bad. It's almost a joke in an episode of The Simpsons in itself, because you as Bart get all the way down to the bottom and there's an axe there, and your character runs over, and before it even touches the axe, the screen goes blank. And then a title card comes up with words on it that just says, before the giant could reach the bottom, Bart grabbed an axe and chopped down the beanstalk. Again, they don't show you any of this. It's just words on screen. And then it says, the giant fell with a thud. Bart's house shook so much the whole family ran out to see what happened. And then it's credits. They don't even, like, give you the end. It's like they ran out of time and they didn't want to finish the game or what, but it definitely reeks. I did this assignment last night and it's due today.
It definitely reeks of, we need this game being produced by next week and you guys aren't finished, is what it says to me. I mean, I'll read off the levels just so we can like kind of you can kind of see where they were with the game, and that is up the beanstalk, outside the castle, the giant's cupboard, soup du jour, the giant's room, escape from the castle, and down the beanstalk. And, you know, I'm going to be honest, I had forgotten until Brandon said that, that that's how the game ended. This is one I did beat. Obviously, it wasn't that memorable because I, you know, actually, now that you say it, you sort of unlock something because I haven't played this game in like 5 years. I remember when it happened, like when it first cut away, I thought like something had happened to my Game Boy. I thought that it
the
know,
batteries went
up.
Out.
Yeah. So I remember being like, that's how they end this? That's so stupid. So I, you know, you sort of unlocked that for me just now. Not the way you want a game to end.
No, it's really not. It's really not. It's wild too, because like they even went as far as like drawing the axe on screen. So somebody like made that asset and had Bart. It's so funny because he doesn't even touch it. He gets just like pointed towards it and then it cuts.
Makes you wonder if there was some fear. Well, I guess this wouldn't make sense because they did this on Treehouse of Horror, but makes you wonder if there was some fear of letting a little kid see Bart hold an axe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they originally did have the full ending and they were like, hey, this is for kids. We can't show him with an axe.
But I mean, it's a children's story and that's how the children's story ends.
I mean, hey, you know.
I appreciate you trying to give them some credit. I think they just ran out of time.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, so yeah, that makes it even more surprising that the game is, you know, I haven't looked in a while, but I remember this game, you know, just for the cartridge. There was a time where you would pay $50 or $60 for this game, if not more. Brandon, you going to look it up right now?
That's crazy. No, I can.
Okay. I saw Brandon typing away, and I was like, Brandon's going to give us a live update.
I was just switching back to the notes.
Well, I'll tell you what, Brandon, I'll do you one better. I will do it because I'm curious. So live on the podcast, I'm just going to see, and you know, we'll just use eBay for reference here.
There's some guy that worked on this game that's listening to our podcast, and he's just crying. He's like, man, I was animating. He was like the animator at the very end, and they just like cut all his work.
So here's the thing. I just looked it up, and this is, you know, and we all know this is eBay. This is like not the most reliable source in the world because you can put something for any price you want on eBay. Be careful when you buy stuff, guys. But if I look at sold listings, and some of these are very recent, like from the last like week. Here's just a cartridge that sold for $40. Here's the cartridge with the book that sold for $80.
Dang.
$41, $40, $40. A lot of $40. Now, if you go to, which I guess is not bad. I feel like it used to be a little bit more.
What about,
so I
like,
guess maybe it's
box.
Become a little more common.
Do you see anything with the box? Because that's where the big money is.
With the box, there are some listed for a comically large price, and I don't believe it will sell. There's one with like the full deal, like, you know, the booklet, the box, really nice box, $1,800. Someone
Damn.
Has it listed. And then someone else has one for $2,000. The same
Whoa.
Kind of situation.
Oh yeah, I see one here. It's being sold by some guy named Warren for.
Oh
for
yeah,
eight
that's
grand.
What an interesting name that guy has. I want to see if one has sold with the box recently. So one sold with the box March of this year for $180.
Whoa.
So
that's far less than the $1,800 that other guy wanted.
Well, it's really, and this is, you know, not an intentional plug for my district store, but it also kind of is, like, this is why eBay is hard to trust, because people just make up whatever they want. If they go on there and see that there are no other copies as nice, quote unquote, as theirs, they'll just make up a price. They're like, well, you know, there's not any other ones on here, so maybe if I list this for $1,800, that'll kind of become the new standard. And, you know, it's all really dumb. But we don't do that over on my store. When I do auctions, I start a lot of stuff really cheap. I give you some good deals. So there you go.
Do you have this game with the box?
I do not have it with the box. I just have the cartridge and the book. I do have the booklet. I bought it also came with the booklet. So, you know, it's not, and even my cartridge, I will admit, is like not the best. It's like a little stained. you know, that plastic would kind of turn brown sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But it plays well. I will admit this is making me want to dust a few of these off, so I might do that after this episode. It's also making me realize that it would have been fun to look up the current value of these as we went, but now we're halfway through.
more than halfway through.
All right, but that, I mean, hey, you know, it, I say this about any Simpsons game. There are people that love even the worst one.
Yeah.
And there's people that have love for all of these. They're tied to a very specific memory or something. So, you know, give it a shot. Try it if you're into it. Like, don't be afraid to, you know, don't just be like, well, these two guys on a podcast I like said that it sucks, so I'm never going to play it. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
Maybe love it. Maybe it, you know, maybe you've loved it since you were a kid, and I'm just giving my own take here. So, you know, everyone likes what they like.
That's right. I haven't played any of these. I've just watched people play these, so I am not a person to listen to at all. I'm just here to say funny things in between.
Brandon's like, I didn't even know what these looked like until yesterday. I'm just checking them out. No, but it's, you know, it's play all of them if you have the time and the expendable, the extra cash, just play them. So the one game that we're talking about today, that is not a Game Boy game. And it seemed kind of relevant because, you know, the main competition for a Game Boy at the time was a Sega Game Gear. So I feel like this is like, you know, sort of in the same realm. But this game also came out on Super Nintendo. And that is the Itchy and Scratchy game from 1995. Not to be confused with Miniature Golf Madness. And also not to be confused with being nearly as good, in my opinion. So... this game is like kind of, it's kind of a mess. It's like, it's very stressful and not in a good way. So following this, and I mean, they realize this. So following the success of Miniature Golf Madness, Acclaim gave the cat and mouse duo another title, but unlike the previous entry, this time you take control of Itchy, and much like the ultra-violent show within The Simpsons, you have to kill Scratchy any way you can using giant mallets, bazookas, and chainsaws. And Brandon, I'm sure you could tell us from the watch, it all just happens a little too fast. It's kind of like, there's not really a lot of time to, the pacing's really bad. There's not a lot of time to enjoy the game.
Yeah, it seemed that way. It definitely seemed kind of, haphazard, to say the least. And I'd like to get, if we're going to rank these things, and I think after we get through the next, when we get to the end of the list, we should just bang out, an ad-libbed best of. I want you to do it. But this one is going to
be. Or should we do that at the end of all the episodes about
video games? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we could do that too. I think that this one has the worst music of any of them.
It 100%.
It is like somebody took just the claps out of a bad techno song and was like, that's good. That sounds like good music to me. Just the claps, just like. It's horrible.
Well, you know, the thing that I don't understand about this game is Miniature Golf Madness was really fun and also well received and, like, you know, showed them that they could make a successful and fun game not about The Simpsons directly, the family. And I think that on the surface, this is like a pretty good idea, but it's just so over the top.
Yeah.
My recollection, and again, it's been a while since I played this, is me just feeling like everything happened so fast that I couldn't enjoy a single aspect of the game. It just kind of feels like you're mashing buttons.
Yeah.
And there's no real skill involved, which, I mean, that's the case for a lot of early games. Let's be honest, you know, at least when it comes to like fights. But it just doesn't feel, it doesn't feel like you're really doing anything. There's no sense of completion. It just feels like you take a deep breath and you're like, oh, okay, I got through that level. it just doesn't give you a lot of enjoyment.
Yeah. I will say it is, it's really nice looking. We should also
mention,
it does
look really cool. Yeah.
Since it was on the Game Gear, it is the first of these games that we've talked about today that is in color. Game Gear was in color. So it's also the first handheld color, Simpsons game, which is kind of cool.
That is cool.
And the color palette is really nice. They like really... Did a lot of like great complimentary colors. It's bright and poppy. It's got that Simpsons color palette, which everyone loves, you know. So we could give it that. That was kind of one of the big cool things about the Game Gear was that it was in color. and it was also weighed 1,000 pounds. If anybody that played the Game Gear, they have carpal tunnel now. They just
for sure.
They are just, you know, tennis elbow on both elbows and carpal tunnel. That's what.
Want to talk about a system that ate batteries.
Yeah, oh, dude.
Oh my god. It did. I mean, there is no one that would not have been financially ruined if that was the only way they played video games. It is insane.
I remember it had two. I would have to look this up because it's been since my childhood since I've seen one of these. But I remember it having two battery compartments, one on the left side and one on the right side. Because it's kind of,
I believe
shaped,
that's correct.
It's shaped like the Nintendo Switch. You know, it's kind of
oblong,
controls on either side of the screen. And I feel like there was a battery compartment on both sides. And in my memory, it was like D batteries. I know that that's not true, but it feels,
I want
like
to say that you're not far off. And it is. So
I'm looking at
full disclosure, when I started buying a lot of these Simpsons games, and this was, you know, anyone that's followed me for a long time knows, well, maybe you don't know. I don't know. Because this was like right at the very beginning of Bart of Darkness. The first post I ever made was of all the video games, or at least all the ones that I had at the time. And it was like, here is every video game except for, I think it says like, this is every Simpsons video game except for the PC games or something like that. I had like at least one version of every video game, not counting PC and arcade. And that was like the first thing I posted. And I thought it was really cool that I had them all. And I was like stoked that I had finally kind of completed it. Looking back, it's like, I can't believe I was like satisfied not having the PC games. I should have just been like, come on, Warren, you can do better than that. But when I started collecting all of these, I also wanted to be able to play the ones that I had never played. And the version of this game that's on Super Nintendo is extremely expensive, even at the time. And in fact, I'll do another search just out of curiosity here as we talk about it. So you get my typing on the mic there. Let's do SNES in particular. Okay, so that has not changed at all. So, oh my God, this makes Bart and the Beanstalk seem like it's worth nothing.
Really?
So this
like
will tell
a
you
bunch
a lot.
Of magic
so,
beans.
When I first started buying these, I was like, well, I really want Itchy and Scratchy game on Super Nintendo, but I just can't I couldn't afford it. I was like, I can't pay hundreds of dollars for this game. And I had been very lucky at the time to have found some like kind of locally at a video game store or at a flea market. And, you know, at the time I was okay just having cartridges. I eventually got boxes for most of the games. But I remember at the time I was like, well, the Sega or the Game Gear version is much cheaper. And I had found it locally at a video game store, I believe. And so I also was like, well, I didn't have this game as a kid. I've never played it. I would like to be able to play it. So I bought a Game Gear because also, at least at the time, this was 7 or 8 years ago, Game Gear, or no, it's like 10 years ago. Game Gears, you know, you could get one for 30 or 40. They weren't super expensive. So I was like, oh, I'll get this. And then, you know, maybe I'll get other Game Gear games. I never did. But so that's why I bought the Game Gear version specifically. But looking at eBay right now, one with the box sold four days ago for $200.
Ooh, man.
And one sold 2 weeks ago. My God. 2 weeks ago on April 1st, complete inbox, not even sealed, just complete. I guess it has the poster with it and everything. $750.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I don't know if that's just because it also has the poster. I mean, I would assume so. That's probably a big appeal. I guess the poster is rare. Oh, it has like a card also. Yeah, either way. And here's another one for $300. That's also with the poster. So that guy with the paid $750 got worked. But however,
he's listening.
I mean, it's an expensive game. Yeah, if you're listening, I'm very sorry. But it's an expensive game. And even just for the cartridge now, you'll spend $50. Like, man, here's some that have sold for $70, $50, $40. You know, like, it's gone down a little bit. Because I remember at the time, it was like, even for the cartridge, it was like $75, $80 or something. So I just didn't want to pay it.
Those Super Nintendo games really appreciated in value. Like, so many of them. Even non-Simpsons ones. I know I've
it's true.
Popped into like a used video game store and saw them under the glass. First clue that something's going to be expensive, it's under glass, you know.
Oh, I know.
And I looked, it's like, oh, damn. It's like $80 it's so true. For Battletoads, you know.
And there's, I mean, there's, you can buy the box and you can buy the game in box right now for $225. So anyone listening, not to give a free plug to anyone, but that's crazy.
Yeah. That's all right, so I looked it up. The Game Gear did indeed have two battery compartments on each side for a grand total of 6 AA batteries. That's insane.
It's insane.
In a handheld device, that's crazy.
If you didn't invest in like rechargeable batteries at the time, you were in ruins.
Yeah, and when I Googled it, I saw that they also made an official, the power grip, which was just, it like slid into the battery compartment on the back and allowed you to plug the Game Gear up to the AC, up to the wall, in case you ran out of batteries, wanted to keep playing.
Insane. So yeah, there you go. And this game was received poorly, which makes it even funnier that it still sells for so much money.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
You got to think it's just people, you know, completionists that want to have them all, which I think is cool. I can't believe that they're still going for $200 to $400 like that, or in some cases $750. That's crazy. But I'll read the levels because the level names are great. Jurassic Bath, The Medieval Dead, Mutilation on the Bounty, A Sight for Sawed Eyes, The Magnificent Severed, and Disassembly Line. So that guy got a raise, I hope.
Yeah.
Whichever guy named these levels. I hope he got a raise because he did his job.
After they fired the last guy, this is his replacement. And this person got it.
This guy is probably like a CEO at Fox now or something. this guy's going places. So there you go. And I just remembered a very interesting video game story that I'm going to come back to. So I'm going to add an extra entry after we talk about this last one, because I'm curious if you've heard about this, and I'm going to pull some stuff up. So I planned on this episode being like an hour. It's going to be a little longer than that, guys. You know, here's some bonus content for you, because we're going to go a little bit longer than I anticipated, because I do think this is relevant, and it makes extra sense to talk about now. So, you know, now that I'm like saying all that, let's go on to another game and then come back. So we're jumping ahead quite a bit here. For this last Game Boy game. And this is on Game Boy Color, Brandon. This is Night of the Living Treehouse of Horror from 2001. So this is like a big jump ahead in time and also in visual.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Game Boy Color was, you know, it kind of like revitalized the handheld gaming thing because now finally Nintendo had a handheld console that could do color, which... You know, they did a lot of remakes where they just brought things into color, but there was also some fresh games, which is cool.
So based on the annual Halloween specials, this 2D side scroller adventure, there are 7 levels to complete, all based on different segments from various episodes. So this is a dream concept. I wish they would have done this for like a console game. I mean, again, Monday Morning Quarterback, this exact thing would have made perfect sense for like a Super Nintendo or even like a PlayStation game or something. I just wish we could have had that. But really, really great concept.
I think some of it is just that, like you said, this is 2001. So now there is like a rich history of The Simpsons for them to delve into and to pull from to make a video game. Whereas those older or earlier games, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of history to pull from. You know, you had your Tracy Ullman sketches and just the sort of vague notion of who the Simpsons were, but, you know, the Treehouse of Horror is like, I mean, they had 9 years of Treehouse of Horror to pull from when they made this game. So it's, you like you said, it's a dream concept. It's amazing.
So good. So here are the levels. And this will just make all of you very sad that I've never played this because it's awesome. Level one is Bad Dream House, obviously from Treehouse 1. Level 2 is Flying Tonight, which is based on Fly versus Fly from Treehouse 8. Level 3 is Plan 9 from Outer Space, based on Dial Z for Zombies from Treehouse 3. Level 4 is Vlad All Over, based on Bart Simpson's Dracula from Treehouse. What is that, Brendan? IV? That would be
four.
Oh yeah, that's four. I knew that. Adrian's Revenge. up next is If I Only Had a Body, based on the segment If I Only Had a Brain from Treehouse 2. Then you have Nightmare Cafeteria, based on the same segment from Treehouse 5. And then you have King Homer, which is based on King Homer from Treehouse 3. So this is like all really fun. This game is very, very enjoyable and looks really cool too.
When I watched the playthrough, I actually stopped because I was like, oh, this looks like a lot of fun and I'm going to add this to my like two playlist. The only one from this whole thing. I don't know. Now after we talked about Itchy and Scratchy Golf, I think I'm going to toss that on the list too, because
yeah,
they just look like fun games. And this one looks, like you said, it's a dream concept. It looks like it was really well executed. And I really love that you get to play as each member of the Simpsons family in the game, which has been rare up until this point. You know, usually you are just kind of pigeonholed into one or two characters, but you get to play as all of them. You even get to play as Robot Homer, which I'm super stoked about. That's super cool.
Yeah, it's a really fun game. I mean, there's not a whole lot to say. I honestly, and this is kind of embarrassing to admit, I don't think I completed this one. I don't think I was able to finish it. Not that it was like, it wasn't like super, super hard. I mean, it is like, you know, challenging, but at the time I like just, you know, I don't think I had the patience to get all the way through it. Cause it is a surprising amount of levels compared to the other games. Whereas like Camp Deadly, you have like five or six levels. This you have like eight. So, yeah. Or seven, I guess. What is math? Yeah, you have seven. So I guess that's not too bad, but it is like, it's kind of hard to complete. So
no, there's eight. There's for sure eight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No, you're right. It's seven.
Brendan's like, you can't count. I do vividly remember the zombie one.
Oh,
or maybe
yeah.
Maybe it's If Only I Had a Body. I remember there's one where you're like walking through like droves of zombies.
So
I mean, it is a very cool, and like also your like point of view changes in some of the levels. It's well done.
Yeah, it's super cool. My only critique from what I saw was that the King Homer one is in color. It's like, it should be in black and white. That's in black and white.
You know, they were just so, they were so stoked. we're having fun with color now. We can do whatever we want. I think that they just got like excited.
I have to wonder if maybe they like were forced to be fully in color by Nintendo, because it's the Game Boy Color, you know. Nintendo is like, nuh-uh. We did a decade of grayscale video games. We're not doing that anymore.
That would totally make sense, and I think that that's probably what it is. So this is like, you know, easy to recommend. You know, don't waste your money on Itchy and Scratchy game. Don't waste your money on Bart vs. the Juggernauts, unless you want to, but waste your money on this. If you have a Game Boy Color or any way to play a Game Boy game and you don't want to emulate it, get this game. Let's see what the, you know, we got time, Brandon. Let's see, you know, let's see what this is going for. I'm going to see if people can save a buck. The title is very long.
Yeah, there's a lot of ofs in that title. Any more than one of in a title is that's two ofs too many.
Night of the Living Treehouse of Horror. Yeah, you guys enjoy me typing. It's such a long title, I had to concentrate. Yeah, you can get this for $14 right now.
Dang.
So this one will not break the bank. If you get it with the box and everything, you'll spend more. That goes for any video game that's ever been created. But there's literally, there's buy it now, copies of this right now for $14. So.
And it looks like you can get yourself a Game Boy Color for around $50. So
there you go.
There you go.
So for $64, you're playing this game like next week.
Damn.
I just hear Brandon like cash out right now on eBay. Ching,
ching.
You're like a little ching, ching.
I have to do a couple of transactions really quick.
let me check out my cart. Yeah. So this is one I would definitely recommend. And like all of these games, you know, I could sit here and go on and on about it, but just watch a playthrough and I think you'll be like, okay, I have to play this.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's really cool. All right, so let's get into this bonus one, and I guess this is why I'm so ready to move on, because this is something that I just recently learned about. I had to like double check the title. I'm going to pull this up and kind of go over the story.
Dramatic pause.
I know. It's, you know, I'm leaving all this in.
Return. much like the Bart and the Beanstalk, it's just cutting away. Everyone's wondering if they like lost their AirPods died or not, you know, just silence.
Okay, I found it. Here we go. So here is, and this is the relevance of this game, and this is really interesting. So shout out to my buddy Shane, who recently was on tour with his band Domain. Really good. Check them out. He sent me a picture of a cartridge that I had never seen. And I immediately was like, that's not a real game. And what this is, Brandon, it says, and you can Google this. I recommend it because I think you should look at the cover. So this is called The Simpsons Return of the Space Mutants. So it looks kind of like Bart versus the Space Mutants, but it's like kind of like an updated cover. And whoa. I was like, oh, that's a bootleg. Like, that's clearly not real. Like, I had no idea what this was. It is a bootleg. However,
whoa, a bootleg video game? That's sick.
And it's also very expensive. So someone made actual cartridges of this that you can buy. I've only seen a couple out there. But essentially what someone did is they took Swamp Thing and turned it into a Bart Simpson game, and they made it feel like a part two of Bart versus the Space Mutants.
Whoa, that's wild.
So this is real. Someone turned Swamp Thing into a Simpsons game.
That's crazy. Oh, are you cool. Looking at there's this a now? Yeah, I'm looking at it now. For anybody that well, nobody should do this because illegal activity is bad. But there is a ROM where you can play it, which is pretty crazy. You can download it and play it. This the art's kind of sick. There's like a Mr. Burns with tentacle hair, which is pretty crazy.
That's like sort of what the aliens are supposed to. That's like kind of what they look like.
I see.
In the first one, like it's like sort of, they're just like your typical Simpsons design. I mean, it's like an updated version of that alien, I think, to look more like a Simpsons character. It's kind of weird. It kind of looks like Mo to me.
Oh, yeah, it does. It's like, I guess I just thought Mr. Burns because it has those liver spots on its forehead.
Oh,
and I see
liver spots.
And I think Mr. Burns.
Well,
leprosy flaked off.
you're smarter than me. What would I need to play this game on ROM?
Oh, man, you just got to get yourself a, it looks like a Nintendo emulator, and then download this little ROM on romhacking.net.
Is that the sort of thing that you would be able to just send me a link to do safely because you're smart?
Yeah, I could send you a, I could maybe send you a safe link to that for sure.
I need everyone listening to understand that when it comes to this sort of thing, I am not very good, and I would download something that would just explode my computer without running this home, so. But yeah, so this is a real thing. And if you look online, and the reason that I went down this rabbit hole, like I said, Shane sends me a photo. Someone had the physical game and someone had recreated the box and someone had actually made a playable cartridge. And
that's crazy.
It was an insane price. I want to say it was like almost $1,000.
I'm looking at one right now on eBay for $2,400.
Right.
Buy it now.
Yeah, buy it now. So, you know, you don't have to bid on it at least.
Yeah, so, they made a box. They even made a little book for it too.
Incredible. But do me a favor, everyone listening, do not go buy that.
No.
Not that any of you, I mean, some of you might have $2,400 laying around just to waste. Just download an emulator and play this game. If you Google it, you can check it out. You know, you don't have Brandon to safeguard it for you and make sure, but you know, it's the screenshots make it look like something I definitely would like to play.
Yeah.
And I remember playing cool. Swamp Thing as a kid, and it's a fun game. So I'm sure this is also a fun game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's certainly going to be the same game for sure.
Yes. Yes. But with Bart Simpson on it.
Yeah. So, that's pretty sick.
So I felt like this was the, you know, it came to me that this is the time to mention this, because in the next couple episodes, we're going to be getting more into some more of the PC games, and then, like, you know, PlayStation 2 type situations.
We're going to move into the third dimension.
And whether or not we do one or two more determine, you know, I have to do some math, but yeah, we'll have a couple more episodes about this coming soon. So yeah, go check out Return of the Space Mutants, download it and play it on your computer. Brandon, this was fun, man, as always.
Yeah, absolutely. This Return of the Space Mutants thing is like rocking me. I'm like,
I know.
I have such an internet rabbit hole to fall down as soon as we
let's play it, Brandon. Let's get on Zoom and play it together.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Let's do it.
I really want to do it. I'm serious.
Yeah, I'm too. I'm dead serious.
We're doing it. So, yeah, Brandon, anything else you would like to say before we wrap this thing up? This is obviously, you know, talking about these is always going to be a good time, but anything else you want to plug other than Penny's Big Breakaway?
No, I don't think so. You know, just I'm just glad we're recording with each other.
Oh my God, again. It's so good to be back. You know, it's just good to shake the dust off. I mean, you know, Brandon and I haven't talked in like 6 months or something.
Seven or 8 years, I think.
Feels like it's been a lifetime. So it's just good to get back on the mic. There will not be this big of a gap next time, or maybe it will be. Who knows? Life comes at you fast. Sign up for District. Come watch a live auction. I'll be doing one. Depending on when you're listening to this, I'll be doing it most Wednesdays. So sign up, come hang out with us. It's going to be a good time. Go to BrandywineCoffeeRoasters.com. Use the code DARKNESS, save 10%, get a great bag of coffee. While you're over on District, buy a copy of my book. You'll get a cheaper price than where it is everywhere else. And, yeah, that'll be really great. I think most of you probably have it by now, but if you don't, go get one. As for everything else, if you have any questions or comments, you can email me at simpsonsisgreat@gmail.com. If you like this podcast, consider leaving us a review on Apple or really anywhere that accepts reviews. We're not that picky. You can follow the official Instagram account @simpsonsisgreater than. If you're curious about me or my collection, just search for Bard of Darkness on Instagram, Threads, wherever, you know, just the internet in general. If you're curious about Brandon, you can follow him at The Withra to see all his updates about, you know, the solar eclipse and birds and all the wonderful things that he does over there. And we'll see everybody real soon.